بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are looking at رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم's conduct during Fatah Makkah, which stands out as an example for all of mankind till the end of time. So yesterday we talked about how he entered Makkah itself. Then he went to the Kaaba and he cleaned it of all the statues that were surrounding it, and some were inside. He pointed at them and they collapsed. And after everything was cleaned and so on and so forth, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did two things. One is he ordered Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu to call the adhan. And not only to call the adhan, but to climb on top of the Kaaba and call the adhan from the top of the Kaaba. Now if you think about this, here is the first adhan to be called from the Kaaba after we don't know how many centuries. Because after Ibrahim alayhi salam built it, and from the time that it became a place of idol worship and it was corrupted and idols were brought there and put there, this was the first time that the Kaaba had been liberated from idol worship and brought back to the worship of the one for whom it was constructed. And this was the very first adhan that was called in the Kaaba after Allah knows how many centuries. Now, who was the most appropriate person to call this adhan? I won't even say people from the Quraysh and so on. The most appropriate person was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Because who is more appropriate than the Nabi himself to call towards Allah? قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي عَدُوْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. This is my job. I call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told and given as his personal introduction, the ayat of Surah Yusuf. So, he could have done it himself. Why did he not do it? And then, if he didn't do it, then logic tells us that it should be the one next, who is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who was present. Or it could be somebody from his family, and there were several of them. Sayyidina Ali was there, Sayyidina Abbas was there, people from directly related to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he did not ask any of them. Any one of them would have given an arm and a leg for this, but they were not told. He told Bilal bin Rabah. Who was Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu? He was African. He was an ex-slave. He was a black man. In Arab society, he was the least. He was the least. I don't say lowest out of ihtiram and out of adab for the Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, but he was the least. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to make a point. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing something which would stand as a marker for anyone who wanted to say, who wanted to look and see what was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's attitude or position with regard to racism, with regard to social or any kind of discrimination. When Islam is supposed to be a brotherhood of equality between everybody, all human beings, and in that equality of human beings, the equality of faith, of all human beings with the same faith. That Islam does not make one person superior or does not recognize one person as superior and one person as inferior, except on the basis of their taqwa, which only Allah knows. Basis of taqwa does not mean that in this dunya, the superiority is established. It is not established because we don't know. But taqwa is a state of the heart. How does anybody know that? You can know what somebody physically looks like or dresses like or appearance. You cannot know the level of taqwa of the person. This is what Allah will show on the day of judgment. This is not for us to sit in judgment on somebody and say this one has more and that one has less. So in the context of this dunya, all Muslims are equal, whether they are rich or poor, whether they are black or white, whether they are Arab or non-Arab, whether they are strong or weak, anything. There is no discrimination on any basis as far as Islam is concerned, either between human beings as human beings or between Muslims as Muslims. There is no, absolutely no difference whatsoever. Now, this is theory, right? Rasulullah ﷺ established that in practice. He demonstrated that. And not only did he do that, he also made Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu climb on top of the Kaaba to show that this is the superiority of Iman. And Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu called out Yadan. The second outstanding thing that the Prophet ﷺ did is he stood on the door of the Kaaba, on the sill, opened the door on the door sill, which we know is about, I think, 5 feet something or 6 feet high. So he was standing on that and he called the people. They came. And when they all came and they were surrounded, he asked them, "What shall I do with you? What shall I do with you today? How should I treat you today?" So they said, "Anta Akhil Kareem, Ibnul Akhil Kareem." They said, "You are our honored brother and you are the son of our honored brother." Now, here is a bunch of people who persecuted him. There were many in that group, in that whole crowd, there were many who actually personally persecuted Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There were others who supported that persecution. They may not have done it directly, but they supported it, or at least they didn't stop it, they didn't raise a voice against it. So everyone was, collectively, they were all culpable. Some of them were personally guilty. Now they are saying, "You are our honored brother." But the same honored brother was the one that you persecuted. So how come suddenly today now you are honored brother? I mean, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have asked this question, right? He could have humiliated them. He could have asked this question and say, "Oh, that's nice. So I am an honored brother. What was I on that day when you were chasing me and you had put a price on my head? What happened to this honor?" He did not ask any question. He did not humiliate them. He didn't even ask them a question in return. He said to them, "La tasriba alaykum al-yawm." He said, "Today there is no blame on any of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you." He said, "Anyone who takes shelter in the house of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu is safe." So Abu Sufyan said, "My house is not so big, Ya Rasulullah." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Anyone who stays inside his own house is safe." And the reason for that was because he didn't want people to come out and then, maybe there is some conflict. After all, the others were soldiers. I mean, maybe there is some conflict and because of the individual conflict, somebody gets hurt. He didn't want all this to happen. So just stay out of circulation. Just stay in your homes. Don't come on the streets. And everybody is safe. Everybody is forgiven. And as I keep saying all the time, he did not even seek compensation for what they lost. I'm not even saying, "Okay, you took away $10, now you pay $100. No. You took away 10, give 10. Here was my house. Now you are sitting in my house, get out. This is my house. Here is a piece of land that belonged to me, give it back. I had this wealth, I had this gold or whatever it is I had, and you took it away, you stole it, give it back. I mean, what is wrong with this?" But this was the waqar of the Nabi. This was the position, the honor of the Nabi, that he did not ask. He did not ask anyone for anything, even when he was totally and completely entitled to do that. He was entitled to enforce it, he did not enforce it. He was entitled to ask for it, he did not ask for it. And again, as I keep saying over and over again, we have to acknowledge the greatness of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Rasulullah ﷺ was not the only person who lost his possessions in Makkah by any means. All the Muhajirun suffered the same fate. Yet not a single one of them, either on that day or ever in their whole lives, not one single person ever said, "Ya Rasulullah, this is okay. You don't want it back, but I need it. I am now in need. I need some. This is my property of this man, whoever it is, they took it." Not one person, they neither protested, nor did they ask. they maintained the same waqar of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And we have to reflect on these things, and we have to think and say, Subhanallah al-Azim, how is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us such a beautiful example? An example that literally has no comparison. And I keep on saying all this time, I am saying this out of the love I have for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my point is, even if that were not the case, if I was simply somebody just analyzing a biography of a person, I say, okay, here is this man who did this. Let me find in history one other person. I'm not saying 200 other people. One other person who did the same. You call it my ignorance or call it what you want, but there is not one single other person who behaved the way that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam behaved, either when he was weak and oppressed or when he was powerful and in control. He gave us an example, a unique example, to behave in any situation, whether we have or we don't have. And that is why it is so important to not just to read the seerah, but to study the seerah, to take individual incidents like we are trying to do here, and then reflect on this and think about it and say, bring it into our lives. Because if you say today, we are not in a situation where we are conquering cities or countries, but we are in a situation where we may have some conflict of interest with a relative or with a brother or with a sister or somebody. Somebody has some property of yours or whatnot. How do we behave in that situation? Do we say, Alhamdulillah, keep it, doesn't matter, I take it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do we fight tooth and nail and, law courts and lawsuits and all sorts of things, and families breaking apart and people behaving like, I don't know. I think I should say they are behaving like human beings, because animals don't behave like this. People unnecessarily bad talk animals. Animals don't behave like this. So we are behaving like human beings. This is not inhuman behavior, this is human behavior. Really, I think we must, really, I remind myself and you that let us seriously study the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that we can learn from it. Alhamdulillah, we do whatever we can do to try to propagate this message wherever we can in the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help in this, and we ask Allah to accept it, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to implement that in our lives and to thereby bring barakah into our lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.